attitude. I tell you what, when you study about Jonah, it's one of the strangest stories in the Bible to me. Esau's a strange story. Adam and Eve, you think they could have not done the one thing they was told not to do, but they did it. Jonah's story, though, is just real strange. A preacher. Jonah. Jonah's wish to die. In the book of Jonah, chapter 1, it says, "The word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Go preach, Jonah." So Jonah wrote, but Jonah rose up to flee from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare and got on. He took off another way. But the Lord sent a mighty wind up in the sea. It was so strong, and they thought the people on the ship was going to be broken in two. And so they were afraid, the Bible says in verse 5. I'm not going to read it all. And so they started throwing the tackling off the ship so the ship would not sink. And so Jonah's gone down inside the ship to sleep, and he was asleep. And so this shipmaster went down and says, "What meanest thou, old sleeper? What's going on with you? Arise, call upon thy God, if it so be that God would think upon us that we perish not." And so they decided to find out what's wrong, what's causing this. So they drew straws, as we might call it, to see what caused this. And so the straw fell to Jonah. And so they tell us, they said, What's going on with you? What evil is upon us because of you? What is your occupation? Where did you come from? What is thy country? What people are you? What people are your people?" And he said to them, "I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land." They men were exceedingly afraid and said unto him, "What hast thou done?" Because he told them that he was running away from what God had said. And so they said unto him, "What can we do to make the storm cease?" They asked Jonah that. Jonah said, "Well, throw me overboard." But they didn't want to do that. So they tried very hard, it said, to bring the ship to land, but they couldn't do it. So finally, they cried unto the Lord. In verse 14, it says, "We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee that let us not perish for this man's life." And so they took Jonah and threw him overboard into the sea, and the sea calmed when they threw him over. And God prepared a great fish. Well, Jesus says in Matthew it was a whale, to swallow him. And Jonah was in the belly of that fish 3 days and 3 nights. And Jonah prayed to God out of the belly of that whale. And so finally, the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited up Jonah on dry land. And again the word of the Lord came to Jonah, "Go preach to the children of Nineveh." So Jonah went. He preached to them. And he cried to them and told them of their sin. And the people of Nineveh believed, the Bible says, what Jonah was saying to them. And they put on sackcloth and ashes. And they was very repentant of their evil. And so God changed his mind, or God repented of what he's going to do to them. And he didn't destroy those people, because Jonah preached to them and they believed and they changed their life. Chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly. Can you imagine that? Here's a preacher. He goes and preaches, and all these people accept what he's preached to them about, and you think he would be happy, wouldn't you? You think he would be so rejoicing and so pleased and so thankful. But no, he was angry, exceedingly angry. This is what he said to God. "O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before thee unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of this evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me. I want to die. I am so upset about what you've done, and you have not destroyed these people, that I'd just rather die than to live." Attitude. What if it was you? What if he sent you to some strange country to preach? And you got over there and you just didn't like the people to start with. You didn't want to go. You didn't like them. So you got over and you preached to them and they changed. What do you think you would do? You think you'd be like this? I just wish God would destroy all these people. I don't like these people. I don't want to do this job. And if he won't do that, I'd just rather go ahead and die. I don't want to live because God has not done what I wanted God to do. I guess we want God to be made in our image, don't we? Don't we? We want God to do what we want God to do. If he don't do it, and we're displeased about it, then we don't like that at all. Take my life from me. It's better that I die and not live. The Lord said to Jonah, are you doing well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city. He got up on his hill, made him a little booth. He wanted to see what was going to happen. And the Lord, verse 6 of chapter 4, said, the Lord prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah that it might give him a shade. So this came up, and Jonah was glad of this shade, this gourd that made this shade for him. But then God sent a worm when the morning came, and it smote the gourd, and the gourd withered. He didn't have a shade anymore. Oh, and the Bible says that the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die. He wants a second time to die. He don't want to live. And said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, thus I do well to be angry for the gourd. He said, Jonah, why are you so angry about this little gourd? What's wrong with you, Jonah? What are you thinking about, Jonah? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. He's talking to God. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither made it grow. You know why I had pity on the gourd? Because he's using the gourd for shade. That's right. That's what it was a shade for him. And it was gone now, and he was upset about it. He's a strange man, isn't he? This is a strange story about a bad attitude, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, God said, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand or their left, and also much cattle. Well, go and preach, Jonah. And we're told today in Mark 16 and 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Are we involved in that? Are we involved in that? Sure, we are. We want the gospel preached. And it's good news when we hear about response that people change their life when they hear the gospel preached. It's good to hear Brother Danny and Brother Harry and some that's gone overseas to Africa come back and tell us about those people that are so accepting of God's word. Preach the gospel to every creature. Go into the world and preach the gospel. But friends, what about us here in America? What are the things that bother us the most? And let's go through a list. It's just some list I came off the top of my head for this, but you might have a longer list. But we love that air conditioning, don't we? Feels good in here, doesn't it? Y'all have the meeting here second Sunday in June. Lord willing, that's what y'all planned for. And in the deep south, it's hot this time of year. Now, what if you announce the meeting this year and says, no air conditioning? It's out. It's going to be out that week. They can't get a compressor for it. It's been ordered, but it's not going to be here. What would happen? You think somebody might want to change the week it's going to be? Mm-hmm. You think people would come? Yeah, there's going to be some come. You think most people will come on that's been planned to come? Now, let's think about this for a moment. That we're going to come here, and it's 90 degrees sometime outside, and you get in here with all these 98.6, our bodies, putting off more heat, and we don't have those old fans like funeral home fans. I don't guess you got them. You may have them. But we don't have them like they used to when I was a kid. We don't have anything. We use a book, you know, try to get some air stirring around us. And we come a night or two. Would that bother us? You say, well, I just have to miss. I just have to miss. I just won't be there. Well, what if it's off at home? Oh, that's a different story, isn't it? Because we're going to spend a lot more hours at home. It's going to be hard to sleep. What bothers you the most? What bothers you the most? Your dog sick or a church member sick? I was in a meeting one time down in Louisiana, and this young child came up and talked to one of the brethren there, and they would ask, you know, people, anybody want to make mention of somebody that needs prayer? And this young boy came up, this man, he asked him, he says, I want you to pray for my dog. And he's serious. He's not trying to be funny whatsoever. His dog is sick. His dog is sick. He was concerned about it. And I thought about that a lot of times since then. That's been several years ago. If the truth be known, would we maybe be the same way? That we're more concerned about our dog being sick than people being sick? Church member being sick? What concerns us the most? Sometimes it just kind of goes over our head when we say somebody's sick, but what if our little pet dog, a pet cat, or whatever you got that's a pet, is sick? What would bother you the most, truly bother you the most? You know, we're told in 2 Corinthians 13 and 5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. And when we think about that, that calls for a lot of self-examination, does it? Where is my faith? What am I concerned about? Am I really concerned about those that are sick and in need? Jesus says in Matthew 25, I was sick and you visited me. I was sick and you visited me. You've done it to the least of these, you've done it for me. What bothers you in life? Would you be like Jonah? Worry about your little old shade tree? Would you be so upset about something like that? Or does it upset you when your brothers or sisters are sick and in need? Does that bother you? Do you think about that? You ever even call them up? You don't ever call them up? To see how they're doing? To see if they need help? To see what is wrong? Do you show concern, a love, a pity? What do we do, brethren? Jonah is a bad story, isn't it? On his part, it's good on what he did, what happened to those people. But Jonah didn't like it. He didn't like what was going on. What about the Lord's Supper? You ever miss the Lord's Supper? Acts 27 said, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached to them. So upon the first day of the week, we come together for the purpose of the Lord's Supper. Completely the purpose of the Lord's Supper. We can preach, we can sing, pray anytime. Now you give your meals upon the first day of the week. We've got the example there about that. But the Lord's Supper is what we come for. But just we're going to say, just for the sake of my point, it's January. Cold up here in Randolph County. Ice storm. Had ice storms before. Comes through. Power's out. Ice on the road. The roads are impassable. Can't get around. So the brethren put out the word. It's not going to be in the church service this Sunday. Oh. We can't make it to the meeting house. Would that bother you? Would that bother you? How much would it bother you? Because you know how important that is, don't you? Because you read 1 Corinthians chapter 11 about the importance of the Lord's Supper. This is my body. This is my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. And to you, it's so important that you're there. So important. You just would not think about missing. Kind of like that story I heard one time about this man, his wife died. She died on Sunday morning. And so the kids came over, and so about 9:30 he starts getting Sunday clothes on, Sunday go to meeting clothes, I guess you want to call it. And his kid says, "Papa, you going to church?" And Mama laying a corpse. He says, "If your mother was living, she'd say, 'Henry, you need to go to church. You can't do anything for me.'" Well, I'm sure the Lord would see that he could miss that day. Well, I don't know so much about that. I think he did the right thing. But what if? Now, what if on this ice storm that your wife and mother says, "Well, we've got no food in the house, so we're not going to be able to eat all day today." "Oh, what? What you mean? Nothing in the house to eat? Nothing to eat. They got some water, but there's no food in the house to eat." What would bother you the most? What would concern you the most? Be honest about it. The Lord's Supper missed? Or a day without eating? A day, a whole day. He said, "Preacher, I don't want to miss a meal." You ever read over in Philippians? In verse 18 of chapter 3, "For many walk of whom I have told you often, and I tell you even weeping, they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly." Whose God is their belly. "Whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things, whose God is their belly." Now, I don't think it's completely talking about eating only. I think it's talking about other things of our desires being our God, the things we want to do being our God. I believe that's what he's talking about also. But I definitely think he's talking about eating too with that. That we're so concerned about what we're going to have to eat. Are we not? Am I missing the mark? Or are we concerned so much about what we're going to eat? I remember Brother David Burnham said down there at Taylor's Crossroads this year. Says we talk about a lot what we're going to eat. You remember the story about the turkey? The man had a turkey in the freezer, 25 years, I think, Brother Bill. Somebody said, "You're going to get it out, eat it." Says somebody said, "Well, it ain't got no taste." He said, "Well, we'll get it to church." Remember them telling that? And I thought when he told that, we're going to give the Lord our leftovers, what we don't want, what we don't need, what we don't use. Attitude, attitude, attitude. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Brethren, where are we going with our lives? Are we really going in the right direction? Are we really caring about people as we should? Or are we like Jonah? Is Jonah living in me that I don't care about people? See, friends, every person is special to God. Did you know that? Back when we lost our son, people would come. And they meant well. I know they meant well. I never said a word to them. But they say things to us like, "You've got other children." And they meant well. But they were trying to comfort us. But what they didn't realize is that every child has his own place. That's right. And that gave me a meaning, a greater meaning. That in God's sight, we all have our place. Those people of Nineveh had a place in God's heart. See, he wanted them saved. And we must say that God loves everybody. God cares about everybody. And just because we're blessed, just because we have so much, we can't forget others. and of their needs. Neighbor gets rain and we don't. Had that happen? You really need it, don't you? You got your deep freezers full, haven't you? Haven't you? You got all that canned food in the pantry. You really need the rain to make a good crop, don't you? But your poor neighbor down the road, he don't have that deep freezers full like you do. He ain't got all those canned jars of beans and squash and peaches and things like that that you've got. And so what if now, you could call the shots on the rain. I know you can't. It's going to be him or you going to get the good rain today. It's dry. Dry it is now, we'll say. What would you say? What would you say? Say, well, what I'd say, we both get some. No, you both can't get it. Him or you, your neighbor or you are going to get the rain. What would you say? That is a real good question. What might happen? Well, probably don't need it in the way bad as I do. And there'd be somebody else give to him. He's getting food stamps. He's on Social Security. They're okay. They'd be okay. I need rain too. And what if this though? What if you didn't care much for him? What if he was a neighbor that you really didn't like? What would you do if you had the call on that? You remember reading the story in Luke 12 about the rich farmer? He looked at all he had and didn't have anywhere to put it. Jesus says in Luke 12 and verse 15, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things that he possesses. Don't be covetous, because your life is not about your possessions. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Now you look out here in Randolph County, and you see this corn and beans and peas and things growing. This rich soil you have up here, plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater or larger. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. You're going to die tonight. Who's going to get these things you prepared? Who's going to get these things you froze and canned? Who's going to get this money in the bank you've got laid up? But you're needing that rain, aren't you? You're needing that rain. You want it to come. You're not concerned about you. Oh, you want him to get some rain too. But you know, he's really kind of snotty. You know, he's really not a good neighbor like he should be. Why, I remember one time I heard about what my granddaddy said he did, that his granddaddy did to his great-granddaddy. We go way back. See, we try to think of some reason that we don't like him. Is that not sad, brethren? Oh, we can hold a grudge for years and years, can't we? All these things we can think of. Remember what Jonah said about God? I just love that part, what Jonah said about God. He says, I know, O Lord, that you are gracious and merciful, you're slow to anger, you have great kindness, and repentance of this evil that you're going to do to these people. He said, I know you, Lord. I know what a wonderful God you are. Well, Jonah, why don't you let some of it rub off on you? See? Why are you so angry? Your little old tree's gone. You're so angry, Jonah. You want to die because you're that. Because you don't like what's going on. Sales and business down and competitors is up. You got an automobile business, we'll say. You selling SUVs. You sold them for years. Made good money. Woo, you made good money. You've paid off the house, paid off the car, put the kids through school. You got money in the bank. You got CDs laid up. You got things that have been good. Got you a nice boat. Things have been good. Competitor, across the road from you over there, he's selling cars too. But they're small cars. That's what he sold for years. They're small cars. They hadn't been selling too good for many years. But he stayed in business. But then this gas price hits. And all of a sudden, these SUVs aren't selling. Not selling. You're having to lay people off. You can't pay them because you're not making money anymore. And you see your competitor across the street is still coming in. I mean, coming in more and more. And you see him uptown, he shakes your hand and laughs, says, you know, says, some of those people you had to work with you, I've hired them over there. If you got some more you got to lay off, send them over to me. I got all kind of business. How would you feel? How would you feel? What about your attitude? What would you say to him? I ain't going to say what I'd like to say to him. I'm not going to say. What would concern you? You'd be concerned about your business, wouldn't you? You might be angry. You might be jealous. You might be Jonah. You might be Jonah. Because things was going well for him, not going well for you. In Matthew chapter 5, in verse 44, Jesus said here, I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. You going to argue with the Lord? Jonah did. Oh yeah, Jonah did. You listening to what Jesus said here? Say, preacher, that's not easy. That's not easy what you got up there about the sales being down and your competitors being up and things are going good for him. I've been there, done that. It's not good when you got to pinch pennies. When you're worrying, lay awake at night and can't sleep. I read about in the Great Depression, many people committed suicide when the stock market fell in 1929. Many people took their lives. Love your enemies. Verse 45, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? It's one of the easiest things in the world to love people that love you, isn't it? That's easy to love people that love me. But some people aren't lovable as others. But remember what I told you? They're still special to God. Right? They're still special to God. And God still loves them. Love them. If you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Some of you know about a container going to Africa. It is 8 feet tall, 40 feet long, and 40 feet wide. It's on the way now. Brother Dan Abercrombie and Sister Nina and some more people over there have done a lot of work getting this thing going. It's even got a truck on it, in it, and a trailer, bicycles, clothes, cooking utensils, all kinds. kind of thing. Danny said that thing just packed like you wouldn't believe. They put clothes in duffel bags and just packed it in there. Under that truck, under the trailer, wherever. He can tell you more about it. But that thing is packed. It's on the way to Africa to people that are so in need of just what's on that ship to get over there in that container. What if we heard that ship is missing? What ship, Danny? With all those things on it. We don't know. It's lost at sea. It's missing. What will we think? What do you think? Do you think it'd bother you? You think you might come together and pray about it? You think you'd even pray about it? I'd just be, ho-hum. Well, what can I do? I didn't cause the ship to sink. How concerned would you be about that? See, the Lord knows your thoughts. He knows what you're worried about. He knows what bugs you, what bothers you. Now, what if you'd order something through mail order? Or on eBay? Okay, eBay. Order something on eBay. And it's lost in shipment. You can't get it to your shipment. And you wanted this, whatever it was. It might be a new TV that you've ordered. A new computer or something like that you want real bad. And it's got lost. What would bother you the most? That shipment to Africa missing or our order missing? Brethren, what does bother us in this life? If you miss the Lord's Supper on Sunday, does that bother you? Does it really bother you? If you don't come to meeting here at Mount Carmel or wherever it is, does that bother you? What's your excuse? What are we going to tell the Lord on Judgment Day? Have you ever wondered about that? When you stand before Him, and all these other people are there too. And all these people that walk to go to church. Do you reckon we'd walk in the rain to go to church with no umbrella? And we get there and there's no air conditioning. The seats are hard. In fact, there's no seats. You sit on the floor and the floor is hard. You think we'd still come to meeting? You think you'd still be this many here tonight? But let's go back to judgment. And there we stand in judgment before Jesus Christ, the righteous judge, and give account of our lives. And these people are there that's lived that way, that walk to church, as I've heard all day, and go to church and walk home the next day to go home. Do you think we've got the right attitude, brethren? In the book of Job, first chapter talks about that Satan one day came before God. And God said to him, said, what are you doing here? He said, oh, I'm walking to and fro on the earth, up and down in it. And God said to Satan, he said, have you thought about my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth. A perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And Satan answered God and said this, does Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the works of his hand, the work of his hand, and his substance is increased in the land. God, my friend, has built a hedge around me. I believe he has you. But just because he has, I must not forget my brothers, my sisters, my friends, my neighbors, whoever it is in this life that are not blessed like me. We read to you Sunday night in 1 Corinthians 16:15 about they have addicted themselves. Remember that? Please write that scripture down and remember and read that again. They've addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Addicted to helping others. They are addicted to helping others. Are we? They didn't get that way overnight. I don't believe they worked at it. They worked on their attitude. They tried to see, I believe, what's right to do, what's best to do, as we should do too. Yes, my friends, Jonah is such an unusual story. He wanted to die. Twice he mentioned that as we read about him. He was not happy with what God had done. Concerned about himself, about his wants. And it was sad. As we stand tonight and sing an invitational song, if you are not a member of the church, please come tonight. It may not come to you like it's coming to you now again. You may want to wait. Please don't wait. You may not see the sunrise tomorrow. You may not. Come tonight believing on Jesus Christ, confessing publicly you believe that He is God's Son, repenting of your sins. Tonight you can be born again, baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are a member of the church, perhaps we looked at the list tonight and you think, well, you know, there's some things up there that I hadn't been concerned about as I should be. And I want the church to pray for me that I will be. You may want that tonight. You may want to come out and confess false tonight. You can do that too as we stand and as we sing.
verse 1.